And turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. We are reading today from the New King James Version. And our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 704 of your pew Bible. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind. Called to be a blessing. Called to be a blessing. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. Our text this morning begins with the word finally. Now, finally is one of those words which just shout out for you to examine the words which came before it. Finally, like the word therefore, is one of those words in the Bible which indicates that something important was mentioned just before you came to this word. Peter began verse 8 with the words, finally, all of you. So let's back up to see who Peter was talking to and what he was saying before he came to this, finally, all of you. Well, in verses 1 through 6, he's talking to wives. And Peter exhorts wives to be submissive to their husbands, even if their husbands were not good Christians. He says that wives have the opportunity to win their husbands over not by their hairdos or their makeup or their earrings or their fine dresses. He said they have the ability to influence their husband by the hidden person of the heart, the inner beauty of their spirit. And then in verse 7, Peter tells men to give honor and understanding to their wives, because God has set it up that for married folks, your prayers won't get through unless you get along with one another. And that sounds strange, but that your blessing will be tied to someone else, but that's the way God decided to do it. But the text of our message this morning deals with what Peter went on to say to the rest of the folks in the church. He told them that they were called by God to be a blessing to others, just like husband and wives are supposed to be blessing within the home. The churches will be blessings to one another and to the world. But how do we go about being a blessing? Most of us don't know how to bless ourselves. We messed that up, not to mention blessing someone else. Well, the answers that we need are in the text. So let's turn to the text as Peter tells us how to be a blessing to others as God has prepared us to be so that he may bless us. In verse 8, Peter says, finally, all of you be of one mind. Be of one mind. Since God has called us to be a blessing, we need to learn how to live in harmony. Learn how to live in harmony. Be of one mind, Peter encourages the church to learn how to get along with one another. Sometimes the phrase used in the Bible says, be of one accord. It means the same thing. Come together and agree on something. You don't have to agree with everybody on everything to be of one accord. If you can just agree on one thing, you have a common ground on which to stand. Jesus said, if two of you can agree on anything, there I am in the midst of you. If you can agree on something that you ask, Jesus said, I'll do it for you. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. For example, I do most of my grocery shopping at Pick and Save. And when I go there on a busy day, there may be well over 100 people or more in the store shopping. Now, I only have one thing in common with all the rest of the folks in the store. I need to eat food to stay alive. We share that common need. I need food, they need food. And that is why we're all there, because we need to eat food to stay alive. And I don't care about their politics, their religion, or their philosophy. I can go in there in peace and leave in peace because we all came with one thing in common and nothing else. We needed food. That's our one accord. In the church, we come with one mind also. We have one thing in common, or at least I hope that we do. That one thing is that we all came because we love the Lord. Now, our politics and our philosophies may differ from person to person, but the one thing that we have in common is that we all love the Lord. That is why we pause each Sunday morning at here at Encouragement Ministries and greet one another in the name of the Lord, because that is our common purpose for being here. We love the Lord. That is what we profess when we come through the doors, that we come here loving the Lord. And Peter reminds the church that they should be of one mind if they want to receive God's blessings. And Peter knew what he was talking about. Peter was, of course, one of the Lord's original 12 disciples. And after his resurrection, as he was about to ascend into heaven, Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of God, which would come upon them in just a few days. 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that they were all together in one place with one accord when the Holy Spirit came down upon them all with great power. And the magnitude of the Spirit's coming upon them was so great that they flowed out into the streets, praising God in every language under the sun. They were speaking in tongues. They were so fired up and enthusiastic and were speaking so strangely that the people accused them of being drunk. And that's when Peter spoke up and said, no, we're not drunk. It's too early for that. Let me tell you what's going on. And that's when Peter preached that first great sermon of the church. And when he finished, the Bible says 3,000 people joined the church right then, that day. The church received the power of God because they were at one accord in one place. That is why Peter said to the church, be of one mind. He knew that the power of God, the blessings of God, come only when his people come together in harmony. God has called us to be a blessing to others, so we need to learn how to live in harmony with one another. And then if we look at verse 8 again, Peter goes on, he says, finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Since God has called us to be a blessing, we need to learn how to show compassion to each other. We need to learn how to show compassion. We can live in harmony with one another without caring about one another. We don't have to have a compassion or understanding just to live peaceably. Again, when I go to Pick and Save, I don't ask the person ahead of me and behind me about their family, their health, and how's their life going. I can live in harmony with them just buying groceries, but I don't have to get involved with their life to do that. I don't have to care about those things to participate peacefully in the shopping experience. But Peter tells the church that God has called us to care about one another. God has called us to show compassion for one another. We've been called to share one another's burdens. And that's why coming to church is important. It's important for each of you to come here each week to participate in this worship service together. It's important for you to come because you don't know when God's going to use you to bless someone else. When God's going to use you to lift someone else's burden. And you may think to yourself, well, there's not much I can do to help anyone. Or if you think that, you're wrong. You're wrong because you don't know what God knows. God knows that he can use you in ways that you have never considered. God knows the needs of all his children. He also knows the strengths and the experiences that he's given to his children. And there are often times that things that you experience, God will be able to use that to the person sitting next to you, across the aisle, or in front of you, or behind you. And God knows who to use it with and what you have that he can use. You don't know it, but God knows it. So God knows what each of his children need. And he gives you the experience, the insight, and the things in your life so that he can use it at his own proper time to bless someone else. So if you don't show up, the work of God is delayed. And that person's blessings gets held up, and so does yours. So we need to come together with willing and obedient hearts. Then God can use us to bless someone else. That's what the Bible teaches. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to come together to exhort one another and to show compassion to one another. We come here each Sunday morning not only to praise God, but to be blessed by him. We come here so that we can be used of God to bless someone else, as only God knows how to do. We gather for Bible study during the week so that we can share our cares and concerns with one another as we study the word and pray with one another. And again, starting this Sunday morning, we will wait around afterwards and have our Sunday school where we can resume the sharing with one another with God's word in prayer and fellowship. That's an important thing for us to do. And this will give us the opportunity to bless one another as we pray and study the word and just fellowship one another. Blessing of God come when you sit down at the feet of the Lord and share what God has given you with someone else. Because God has called us to be a blessing to one another, we need to learn how to show compassion for one another. And then Peter goes on in verse 8, he says, finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers. Love as brothers. Since God has called us to be a blessing, we need to learn how to love as brothers. We can live in harmony with one another without caring about one another. And we can care for one another without showing love. But since God has called us to be a blessing to one another, we need to learn how to love as brothers. That is what Peter exhorts the church to do, to love one another as brothers. The Old Testament said, love thy neighbor as thyself. But the New Testament gets a little more specific when it says, love as brothers. Love as brothers. Love as people that have something in common. Jesus said that love will be the distinguishing feature of those who were his followers. He said, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. John 13:35. Love forces us to go beyond just living peacefully with one another. Love goes beyond caring and have sympathy for the needs of others. Love says, I'm willing to go beyond just making warm expressions. Love says, I'm willing to do something. And James tells us that if we just say to people, be warm and full to the cold and the hungry, then we haven't done a thing. And if that's all that we do, our faith is a dead faith. But a faith that is built upon love will motivate us to provide substance to our sympathy. Being able to show this kind of love is a sign of the presence of God in your life. It's a sign of the presence of God. John says that if you cannot love your brother whom you can see with your eyes, how can you say you love God whom you've never seen? And then John goes on in the next verse and answers his own question and declares that if you claim to love God and cannot love your brother, then you're lying. You're lying about loving God. That's what the Bible says. You're a liar. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Since God has called us to be a blessing, we need to learn how to love as brothers. And then Peter goes on in verse 9. He says, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessings, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Since God has called us to be a blessing, we need to learn how to overlook the faults of others. To overlook the faults of others. We can live in harmony with one another without caring about one another. But since God has called us to be a blessing, we need to learn how to care. And we can care for one another without showing love. But since God has called us to be a blessing, we need to learn how to love as brothers. But Peter is showing us something else in this verse that we need to understand. We can love without sacrifice. We can show brotherly love without showing sacrificial love. And you may ask, what's the difference? Love is love. Well, not quite. It's not hard to love people who are lovable. And we should all strive to be lovable, but some people are not that lovable. Jesus tells us we need to learn how to love the unlovable if we want to be like God. Matthew 5:43, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. If we only love those who love us, if we only love the lovable, then we haven't achieved any more than what an unbeliever could do, Jesus says. It's easy to love those people who love you. That's called brotherly love. The Greek word in the Bible for that is called philia, philia. And that's where the city of Philadelphia gets its name, the city of brotherly love. But the call of God to his children is to show love to the unlovable. That kind of love requires a sacrifice. That kind of love is called agape love. Agape love looks beyond the faults of a person and addresses their needs. Agape love is the kind of love that we ask God for every time we pray. When we pray, we say, Lord, I haven't been as loving to you as I should have been, but please, Lord, show me the kind of love that I need. We ask God for agape love, and we need to thank God that that's the kind of love he gives us. That sacrificial love, he looks beyond our faults and takes care of our needs. But agape love makes no sense at all unless you believe that God is real and that God's word is true and that God lives in you. It makes no sense unless you believe that God is real and that God's word is true and that God lives in you. If all of those things are not true for you, then agape love will seem like the attitude of a fool. It'll seem foolish and stupid to have agape love, to love people who don't love you, unless God has touched you on the inside and showed you something that you know about God that no one can change your mind about. It makes no sense to love those who hate you unless you believe that there is a God in charge of this world who's big enough to overcome the haters. But that is what God says to his children. He says, trust me on this one. I have you covered. God says, I have you covered. And Peter reminds us that the God that we serve has called us to show that kind of love. So if we want to be what God has called us to be, then we have to learn how to overlook some things. And that's not easy. That takes a sacrifice. We have to overlook a lot of the faults and the evil of others in order to be the blessing that God has called us to be in this world. We have to trust God on that. But God has a good track record. God has a good track record. Today, everyone acknowledges the courage, the wisdom, and the faith that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. displayed in adopting the nonviolent fight hate with love approach that he did in combating the evils of segregation in this country. Today, everybody salutes the wisdom of that approach. But those of us who are old enough to remember those times can testify to the fact that back then, not everybody thought that was a good idea. Back then, there were a lot of folks in the black community that thought it was foolish and weak to take that approach. But Dr. King did it God's way, and God worked it out to the astonishment of even those who opposed the movement. Jerry Falwell called Dr. Martin Luther King the greatest leader of the 20th century. He was one on the other side, but when he saw what God had done through him, he had to confess later on that he did it God's way. God has a good track record. During the same time period, Nelson Mandela was standing up in the same way in South Africa. And once again, God worked it out. Nelson Mandela spent 25 years, the prime of his life, in prison. But when he got out of prison, he became the president of his nation. And you can tell he was doing it God's way because when he came to power, he didn't seek revenge against those who had oppressed him and his people. He sought reconciliation. He sought reconciliation. And only God can persuade a person to take that attitude against those who have done them wrong. Only God can convince somebody to do that. That's not human nature. So Peter says to the church, God has called you to be a blessing. That means you have to learn how to overlook the sins of others. God has promised that he'll take care of justice himself, but he's called you to be a blessing to others. To do that, we have to learn how to overlook their faults. When you do that, you're walking as close to God as you can get. As close to God as you can get. And that's where we've been called to walk, close to God. Blessing others so that God can bless us. Peter told the church that this was not a new thing that he was calling them to do. In fact, this message was from God in the Old Testament. So let me close this morning with Peter's quote. He was quoting the Psalms of David from back in the Old Testament when he called them and told them why they should walk this way, because the Bible had forever been telling them to do that. So as Peter closes these verses, in verse 10 he says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God is preparing both blessings and wrath for the people of this world. He has called us to receive his blessings and to pass them on. We need to stand up with God and receive the blessing that he's given us so that we can be a blessing to others, so that God can continue to bless us. To receive God's blessings, you have to be willing to turn everything over to the Lord. When you turn things over to the Lord, you know that you cannot lose anything that you've given to him. When we turn it over to the Lord, he takes care of us. When we turn it over to the Lord, he makes a way for us. When we turn it over to the Lord, he provides safety for us. When we turn it over to the Lord, he fights our battles for us. When we turn it over to the Lord, he sends blessings our way that we could not have imagined. I'm turning everything over to the Lord so that the Lord can bless me and make me a blessing to somebody else. That's what I'm going to do. What about you? What about you? This time I'd like for the congregation to stand and the choir to come and lead us in song. In just a moment, we're going to have an altar prayer. But right now, we need to fix our minds to thank God for what he's already done and to ask him to continue to allow us to be a blessing to others as we go through our daily walk. As the choir continues to sing, come to the altar of God, all to desire prayer. The doors of God's church is open now for prayer. Let us gather for prayer.